Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I think what's really cool about that is that when you have been in two different characters' perspectives for, say, 200 pages, and then suddenly they're overlapping and they're wanting different things, the level of conflict and tension that you can get in your story is way higher than if you were just in one character's point of view. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of Across the Broken Stars, and I am joined today by my fellow writers, starting with Rob Hayes.
Hello, I'm Rob Hayes, author of, we'll go with Titanhoppers, because the paperback has just been released. So I haven't got one yet, because awful copies take a ridiculously long time to arrive, to be honest. But there we go, yeah. Titanhoppers, the progression great science fantasy novel.
Great freaking book, too. I just finished it a couple of weeks ago.
Thank you.
And that's Dirk Ashton.
Yes, I am Dirk Ashton, author of the Paternus trilogy.
And lastly, Michael R. Fletcher.
Ooh, that's me, Michael R. Fletcher. I am author of Beyond Redemption and the Manifest Delusions books.
And today we're going to be talking a little bit about writing multiple points of view. So I guess we should maybe start this off with just like a really basic definition of, yeah, what this means. Does anyone want to kind of just provide a rough overview of what we're talking about?
Points of view is when you have a book that features multiple points of view.
Great circular definition. Yeah.
All right, moving along quickly.
Genius.
it's when you write your book from the perspectives of multiple different characters, basically.
Fantastic. Usually thank you for providing a definition that actually defines the topic.
Yeah, usually it's you're following one person in one chapter, then another person in other chapters, and other people in other chapters. Or you can have a little break and have, you know, three or four characters even, perspectives, points of view in one chapter. Multiple POV books, Game of Thrones is one of the biggest.
Yep, perfect example.
Joe Abercrombie does it with The Blade itself, and both trilogies in that group. I'm reading Christian Cameron's The Red Knight right now, and I think he has more POVs than Martin does in Game of Thrones. It's crazy. That's how many.
I have heard that. I've heard a lot of people say that the point of views get kind of out of hand in that series.
Wow, there are a lot. It's a great book, but man, there are a lot.
Yeah, so what are some, I guess, like a lot of us have written books that have only one character's point of view. And actually, Dirk, all of your books have multiple points of view, right?
I have multiple points of view, but I use an omniscient where I zoom in and out, and I will have different points of view paragraph to paragraph. It happens more in the first book than in the other books, but it still happens. So yes, I do have multiple points of view, but I do it in a very different kind of way that some people really do not like. And some
very
people
old,
love
very old school fantasy though. I kind of miss omniscient. Yeah. I want to try it again someday.
Omniscient.
I've never done it.
Where you could just jump from inner thought to inner thoughts, from character to character, was standard for decades. And then writers and readers got lazy. Or wait, different. I wouldn't say better, but tastes and styles changed. So
yeah, I mean, if you go back to the first Dune book, that's omniscient. So that's probably the biggest biggest example out there.
There's definitely a sort of the sort of genre of book quite often defines it. Like, I think sword and sorcery books were very often omniscient point of views, weren't they? Whereas a lot of the epic fantasies that started coming out in the sort of like 70s onwards, they started going more towards the more tight sort of focused single character point of views, but multiple characters, I think, rather than omniscient, like third person, isn't it? Yeah. But that's perspective rather than point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess it'd be good to get into some of the advantages and disadvantages of this, and maybe our own experience with writing these things. So, Mike, do you want to maybe start us off on that?
Yeah, I mean, the one great advantage of multiple points of view is it's an opportunity to show more of the world. So if you've got a world where there's a caste system, or there are nice parts and there are shitty parts, it's great to have one character, you know, who's sort of growing up in the lap of luxury, and another character who is sort of slumming the pits of poverty. And so you can sort of show more of the world. And I mean, that for me, I love multiple points of view, because it's always a chance to train wreck two stories. I like to start with them with all the POVs separate, the characters in different parts of the world. And, you know, at first the reader has no fucking idea why. And soon you start seeing that they're all heading to the same spot. You know, everyone with their sort of different goals. And you get this sort of like, you know, little foreknowledge that that things are going to go badly for somebody or everybody when all these different characters sort of finally collide.
You know, your point, literary hero, really good way to Brandon conflict. Sanderson, does a thing like that. It's called the Sanderlunch.
Yeah, where all the point of views just, kind of coalesce and shift between. Honestly, that's almost more similar to what Dirk does, where, like, you know, if you read the end of, like, a Sanderson book, they are almost switching point of views every couple of paragraphs almost, because they're trying to create that, like, extremely rapid, you know, sense of a movie cutting between all these different scenes as they're leading up to a big climactic conclusion. So maybe Dirk, you're the one that influenced him more there.
Yeah.
No. Take credit.
I wish.
To your point, Mike, I think that whole train wreck method, why did I say method? That
was method. Weird.
The whole train wreck
method. Is that an Australian thing? We don't know. You could just gloss past that. We'd be like, Australians say
I think
method?
I was weird. Trying Damn. To say mythology and then methodology, but then that sounded too pretentious. So I just bailed.
You know what? All in on the pretentious method.
Yes. Method. Yeah,
from the Latin.
I think what's really cool about that is that when you have been in two different characters' perspectives for, say, 200 pages, and then suddenly they're overlapping and they're wanting different things, the level of conflict and tension that you can get in your story is way higher than if you were just in one character's point of view, because you have an attachment to both of these people, you have some sympathy towards both of their goals, and you understand what they want and why they want it, and you realize that in a lot of situations, maybe only one of them can actually succeed. So there's just so much tension and conflict built into that, as opposed to if you're just always in one character's head. I mean, you do this in Black Stone Heart, and it's sort of the point of those books. is that, you know, because you're always in Crayon's head, you always like sort of want what he wants, even though sometimes it's, well, even though most of the times
it's terrible,
arguably terrible. But yeah, because you just aren't in all the characters' perspectives, you have less sympathy towards what they want. So yeah, I think that ability to kind of generate extra conflict, and also to make the world feel more, I guess, like morally dubious as well, because if you're in one character's perspective and they are wanting this thing and they think that this is the kind of moral and just thing to do, and then you switch to another character and they actually want the total opposite, you as the reader now have to figure out how to kind of match up these two disparaging worldviews. And I think that's why, you know, A Song of Ice and Fire is so amazing, because yeah, all these different characters want different things, and you realize that, oh, there maybe is not one true worldview here that they're operating off.
Or they all want the same thing, but they have different ways of going about it.
Mm, yeah. Exactly.
One, you know, multiple point of view or singular point of view books, neither one is better than the other.
No.
It really just depends on the story that you want to tell. You'll be able to tell really quickly what kind of story you want to tell. Actually, we were having this conversation with a bunch of writer friends in a group just very recently, and we came up with things like, you know, you don't want to introduce 12 POVs in 12 different chapters at the very beginning of the book. You can end up with 12 POVs, but you only want to introduce so many so fast, and then you want to spread it out. But you also have to be careful. You don't want to get halfway through a, you know, 253,000 word novel and suddenly switch and have a new POV. That can be dangerous. It could be done well. I can't think of a example where I've seen that, but there may be a reason for that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
But, you know, that's really the only advice I have on multiple POVs.
You definitely want to be wary of.
Oh, sorry, Rob, you go.
Sorry. Yeah, you definitely be wary of introducing too many
points of views too quickly. But I don't think there's necessarily an upper limit on the number of point of views a story can actually have. You know, you look at some of the big epic fantasies and they roll upwards of sort of like 20, 30 points of view by the end of the whole thing, the series. So I don't think there's a limit there, but I mean, there are little tricks you can do, cheats, if you want, to help sort of introduce characters. I find it doesn't work with sort of the sort of thing that Fletcher likes to do, where he likes to have them all over the place and then converging. But if you've got multiple different characters that are rolling around on like the same quest or whatever, you can introduce the characters via other characters' point of views first, so that the reader already feels attached to them by the time that they get their own point of view chapter coming along. So it's less jarring to suddenly find themselves in the head of a new character, because they're in the head of a character that they already know at that point. It just sort of helps to introduce the reader more slowly to the points of, you know, the points of view characters that you're trying to give them to tell the story via.
On that note as well, I think another really powerful aspect of multiple points of view is that it allows you to filter the world through different characters' perspectives. So like, you know, a really simple example here is that, let's say one of your characters is from the desert and they are in a city and they just see, like, I don't know, an open well in the middle of the city or whatever. And they would probably be stunned by this and would probably describe it in great detail and be like very fascinated that someone would just leave all this water out in the middle of the city. Whereas someone who has grown up in that city probably doesn't even notice it in their narration and their description. So that's like a really easy way, to your point, Rob, to kind of distinguish between these different points of view, because what you kind of want to avoid is having these points of view sound very similar to each other. Because if it's the same character more or less in all your different perspectives, then it kind of does broker the question of, why am I having to see this from three different people who are all, I don't know, who are all like farmers and they're all named John or something like that. It's probably not going to be as interesting. Whereas what if one is like a farmer and then one is like, you know, some assassin from the city and then one is from this like other country or whatever, then okay, now you've got a bit more variation and complexity between it.
You can do some really nice things for the characters as well if you're doing that sort of thing.
Yes.
So if each character has a completely different voice, it's almost like writing three different stories, but in one. You can really have a lot of fun with, like, one character might be witty and sarcastic even in their sort of narration, and the other one might be very dour or whatever, and it just gives you a lot of scope to play with.
Yes. And trying to distinguish and differentiate those voices is quite important as well. Another thing that can be really useful, particularly when you have, let's say, multiple point of view characters who are all going to experience the same scene together, is something that I quite often ask myself, is which point of view character will experience this scene in the most interesting way. So for example, if you have, let's say there's two characters, they're both point of view, one of them is like an undercover spy and the other one is just like a regular soldier or something, and let's say they're both going to a meeting with this higher up in the army or whatever, and you can choose either one of these characters to tell that scene from, but chances are there'll be one character that will have a much more conflicting, like, tension filled experience of that scene. Let's say it's the undercover spy. And so it makes sense to kind of like shift that point of view to be told from that character in that chapter. And then as you go back to other chapters as well, you can, you know, just ask yourself, like, who is going to experience more conflict and who is this scene, really going to affect more? How do you guys kind of go about picking, let's say you have like three point of view characters and they're all in the same scene together. How do you kind of go about picking whose perspective you're going to filter that scene through? Like, do you have any specific approaches, or is it just...
That's a good question. I remember...
A gut reaction thing.
I remember wondering if I needed to actually space them out in a really regular way, if I had one chapter from one point of view or in one location, did I need to switch for the next one, how long or short they should be. And the answer was, and in the best books I read, it's do whatever works for the story.
Yeah, exactly.
If you need three chapters from one of the characters' POVs, just do it. And then just one chapter from another one, just do it. But how do you choose? Depends on the story and how much I want to happen, because each POV, if especially if they're in a different location, has a different has its own story arc, right? It always does, and it generally always coalesces with other POVs at some point, or at least some of them. So you have this arc of what they're doing. And, you know, when I wrote the first Paternus book, I wrote each POV arc at a time. And then I intercut them and then smoothed out the transitions. And that worked very well for me. And I did some of that in, like, especially for big sequences in book two. But then the more I wrote, the more I had a better idea of kind of how to do that as I went along. So I didn't have to think about it so much.
Yeah. And I will say, if you're writing a book with multiple POVs, POV characters, at some point you're going to have this
Duck's just dying
brilliant idea where you're going to want to write the same scene, exactly the same scene from one character's point of view, and then do the same scene from another character's point of view, and don't. Just don't do it. It's not that I disagree. It can't
Sometimes
work,
that's awesome.
But it almost always sucks, and the reader is going to be bored because they already know what's happening. Almost well, always, yeah, you're going to be better disagree. Off.
I think if you look at just the battle sequence in Heroes, that's
not, like I said, it's not that it can't happen. It's not that it can't work. But if you're not a fan-fucking-tastic writer with a really good vision, it's not going to work. It's going to be boring.
Also,
you're
much better off to write that scene
from one POV and then move on.
Yeah, the Heroes continues on.
Yeah, I guess the Heroes is multiple different perspectives, replaying the same scene over and over again.
One timeline,
but they're sequential, right? In timeline, they're not actually overlapping. So when I'm saying,
I have read books that do that, and it was neat once or twice, but I don't want to see it through the whole freaking book that keep happening again and again.
And you have to have an amazing reason or just I mean,
one thing that I thought Martin did that was brilliant in Game of Thrones was he would start one of those big elaborate dinner scenes from one perspective, then continue that dinner scene from another perspective, then continue that dinner scene from another perspective. He didn't retell it, but it might overlap a little bit as one of them started. And I really liked the way he did that, because very often I'd be flipping a page going, is it going to be one of the POVs I just don't give a shit about at this point?
You know, run.
Three or four books in. And there was also something he did that I would never recommend was which one of the books, maybe three, where you simply don't hear from a bunch of your favorite characters for the entire 450,000 words.
That was because he split the two books, wasn't it? So like he decided that you're gonna have all of these characters' point of views in this book, and then the next book would be all of these characters' point of views, but the problem was that he bunched them weirdly, so all of the point of views that you got in this book four or whatever it was, nobody wanted any of those characters. But
awesome. All right, well, that's probably a good point to wrap it up there. So yeah, thanks for your thoughts on different multiple points of view. I guess the main takeaway, as always, is like there are no hard and fast rules here. Do what feels right for your story, and feel free to adjust as you go along. So thank you for listening or watching. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening or watching to this episode of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you like what we're doing here and you would like to help support the show, please go to patreon.com/wizards, warriors, and words. And for a monthly subscription, you can get access to bonus episodes that you can't find anywhere else. Currently, we have 5 bonus episodes up there, and we're going to be adding more in the future. So you can check that out. The link is down below if you would like to have a look. And a special thanks to our high-tier patrons, Talon, Daniel, and Lewis. Thank you for helping support the show. We'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.